Yep, heard of that. Okay, thank you. Yes, I did. Very good. Very good. The reason I did that, I want to read a biography on, a little biography on someone this morning. And I was in my office yesterday working. This just kind of came out. It's no particular, maybe really order. It just kind of was flowing out. So I just started getting my pen and I had to rewrite it after I got it the first time so I could read it. Because I start writing when the Lord gives it to me, I'm like, you know, this. And I got to go back and rewrite it so I can read it in front of y'all. Here's a biography on somebody. See if you know who I might be talking about. Won't take you long, I don't think. He has never lost a battle. He has never dropped the ball. He is the universal champion. He is the creator of all things. He is eternal. He is undefeated. He is faithful. He is always on time. He has no weaknesses. He is perfect. He is complete. He is always present. He is never wrong. He is the strongest. He is the greatest. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. He will always provide. He will always protect. He will always deliver. He always loves. He always forgives. He always cares. He always answers. And who am I talking about? God. Have faith in God. Little bio, not quite as detailed as Don. And we could get detailed. He was born, you know, in Nazareth. He died in 33 years of age. He did many miracles. He raised the dead. He healed the crippled. He healed the blind. He walked on water. He caused money to appear in a fish, the mouth of a fish. Wouldn't that be great? Who fishes in here? Have any of you ever caught a fish with money in its mouth? Isn't that amazing? But God let that happen. That's true. That's a good point. We see all these miracles. We know that he was a Jew. We know his parents' names, Mary and Joseph. We know how he was born. How was he born? In a manger. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He had a ministry. He had followers. He had 12 disciples, an inner circle. This is the biography of God. And I got thinking about this. And that was very good, Don. That encouraged me to talk about that guy. I don't even know him. And I was like, wow. But you know, if you're a sports nerd in here, and don't be ashamed of it. A lot of y'all are. It's okay. You can name what player. Brenda, where did Ben Roethlisberger go to college at? Do you remember? Miami. That's correct. Miami of Ohio, not Miami, Florida. Yep, Miami of Ohio. Now, here's Brenda, this prime timer, who knows what college Ben Roethlisberger went to. What number jersey does he wear? 7. Who's he play for? Is he tall or short? Is he ugly or good looking? We see that we can biography someone's life. You know, that's really what a funeral is when someone passes away. You're giving a biography of what they were, who they were. Well, if we know who God is and he's all of these things, then shouldn't our faith be in this? Our faith should be in the one that's never lost a battle. He's never dropped a ball. If you watched any of the Alabama game last night, LSU game, I watched a little bit of it, and that quarterback for Alabama hadn't thrown an interception all year. 25 touchdowns, 0 interceptions until last night. They still won, but he threw an interception. His first one of the year. Guess who's not threw an interception? My God ain't turned nothing over except what's good for my life. If I know I serve a God who's not dropped the ball, who's always on time, who is perfect, who is complete, who is the mightiest, the strongest, the greatest, who raised from the dead and is alive forevermore, and who watches everything that we do and everything that's created, he did it. Everything our eyes see, he did it. Everything from the stars to the mountains to the sea to the animals, everything that we see, the air we breathe, God created that. Have faith in God. And that's my prayer this morning, that we leave here, that we will have faith in God. It doesn't matter how it looks right now. Look at God. We've got to feed our faith. Feeding our faith will starve our doubt. And that's what's important. We see the problem and we keep feeding the problem. Well, I don't have this, and how's this going to work out? How's it going to work out? Be like Moses, and when you get to the brink of your Red Sea where there's no escape, you just stand still and say these words: watch the salvation of God. Watch the salvation of my God, who is able to do whatever he wants at any time. I don't have to know how it's going to work out. I don't have to see the answers. I just know he is the answer. And my hope and my faith is in him, no matter what the devil tries to tell me. Because the devil is defeated, the devil's overcome, and the devil is a liar. The devil's already been taken care of. He has no power over you anymore, because the blood of Jesus has declared you righteous and sanctified and justified and glorified for all days. That's the God that I serve. I want to recap a little bit of Wednesday night, because a lot of you weren't here, and this just hit me this morning. I didn't have this plan to read until this morning I got here at church, and I feel impressed to read this again. Psalms 121, we read this Wednesday night. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? Do you feel that way sometimes? God, where does my help come from? I'm broke, and I'm sick, and I'm tired of being broke and sick. Lord, I've got these problems and I'm tired. They never leave. I've sought help here. I've talked to them. I spent money on this. And all of it, none of it works. God, I need help. Where does my help come from? Verse 2 tells us, my help cometh from the Lord. From the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Think how much God cares about us. That the creator that made heaven and earth still cares about Gail Finch's needs. That when this little older gentleman is sitting in that flea market during the week, in that chair in that booth, and he cries out to God, that the God of all things we see pays attention to his words and says, yes, my son, what is it I can help you with? We have a God who is there, always present in our time of trouble. The Bible says that. Have faith in God. That's where our help comes from. He will not suffer thy foot. The word suffer means to allow. He will not allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. We talked about this Wednesday. The word slumber means to be alert, to be awake. I've said this story before on our beach trips as a young couple and with our kids when we were little. Well, we went to the beach every year. And Melanie was a sleeper. She'd get on the beach and that was her thing. That's why she got burnt every single year. She forgot to turn. Remember the old saying, turn or get burned. Well, she didn't ever turn, and she'd be out there, and she would fall asleep. She was clueless to the world, the sea breeze, the seagulls. And you know why she could sleep? Because she knew I was on alert. She knew I was watching the kids. And I might drive her crazy with it. She'd be like, good Lord, you know they're right there. The point is, she slept. And deep inside, she knew that James Lewis was on watch. I was on that line, Jack Nicholson says. You want me on that line. You need me on that line, on that wall. That was me. I was on that ocean shore. I was watching them kids. Melly, you need me to watch them kids so you can sleep. You want me to watch them kids. You don't want me to have no sleep. You want me to stress the whole vacation that don't get eaten by a shark or drowned by a wave. Sleep, girl, sleep. That's what God is saying. He's saying, I've got this. Rest, sleep. Enjoy life. I'm on that wall. I'm on your watch. I'm watching you, protecting you, and keeping you. I've got this, and I've got you, because I'm alert, and I don't sleep on the job. Remember the old Andy Griffith episode where they had that break-in the general store? Had an old security guard, about 90 years old. No offense if you're 90 years old. About 90 years old, and he's in there, and he's sleeping in that chair, and pulls his gun out, and it falls apart. It's so rusted. Man alive, bless his heart. He wasn't no good for nothing. Burglars coming in and out. He didn't have a clue because he wasn't alert. God ain't like that. When tragedy comes against your life, God knows it. When storms are attacking you, God knows it. When divorce happens, God knows it. When death happens, God knows it. When disease happens, God knows it. When you lose your home, God knows it. He's alert and he's aware, and he will not fail you, and he will not forsake you, and he will not leave you. Have your faith in him, in God, and nothing else. But we're too smart for God in this generation. We're just too smart. Men's brains have gotten to where they can do things that God can do, and I don't need God. I've got technology. I've got this. I've got this. We can create anything. We can make anything. Think how the world looked 100 years ago. Go back to 1918 and versus just 100 years, which is no time at all in the time of life. People were still riding horses as main transportation. Think about that. In 100 years, we've gotten real smart. And I wonder how God says, man, see, we don't seem to need God as much when things are right, when the money's coming in, when the job is good, when we just got the promotion, when, you know, the house is good, when the family is good, when our wife and husband's good, when our kids are good, and All that just seems, well, everything's good. But when things go awry, we get our eyes off of Him. Man, God's not changed. God knows when you're in the darkness of your gutter. God knows when you're in the depth of your addiction. He knows what you're going through. And He still loves you. And He's still watching you. And He's still protecting you. And He's still keeping you from your own foolishness, from your own lack of restraint, from your own weaknesses. God is still keeping you because He's alert and He's awake and He's not sleeping on you. Isn't it great to know? Think about this. Isn't it great to know that when you go to bed at night and you turn that lamp off and you go to sleep, that as you're resting through those wee hours of the night, that you have a God watching over your home? You have God protecting your front door and your back door and your side door. You have God protecting your children. You have God camped all about you. And you can say, good night, Lord. Thank you for watching out for me tonight. Because He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Have faith in that. Behold, He that keepeth Israel, the one that keeps Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. That word shade means protection. He protects you where you go. He protects you. Think about this. How many times did you have been gone that you're not gone because God protected you? How many times? Think about David Lee when he was over in Iraq and that IED went off. He heard a click, but it didn't detonate. You can say they had the wrong batteries in it, whatever you want to say. They threw it wrong. They set the timing wrong. It just was a malfunction because it was made in China, whatever you want to say. And don't nobody get all upset about that. We're just having some fun, okay? But it didn't detonate because God's shade was on David Lee's life. We laid hands on David before he went on that tour. That was years ago. He stood right here at this altar, and we laid hands, and you, the church, we prayed God would bring him back safe and whole. And remember when that IED clicked, God was saying, he's got to come home safe and whole. It can't go off because his faith in me and not this. We try to explain things away through natural things instead of understanding sometimes it's just God. And that's okay, church. It's just God. You know, well, you got that job because everybody else failed a drug test. You're the only sober one that passed it. No. If God's, here's my thinking on that. If God chose to send all people that couldn't pass a drug test there so I could get it, hallelujah. It's still God. However you want to do it, it's still God. And we try to put things that, how it worked out, and don't give credit to where it's due. There's times it is just God. We say, Lord, you did this, and I know it. And I'm thankful. It's like my cat God brought back. I told you about that a couple weeks ago. I know it wasn't a big thing to a lot of people. It's just a cat. I know that. But, man, God answered our prayer. He answered Melanie's really fast. So I prayed the day before. The next day, we're in a garage, and Melanie's come up, and she put her arm, she kind of hugged me and says, I want my cat back. 5 seconds later, meow. Wow. Don't none of y'all make Melly mad at you. Remember the Twilight Zone, the cornfield? You're thinking bad thoughts of me. I tell Melly that. It's amazing times. She's got some power. I'm just telling you. Be careful. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Once again, it's talking about God's protection shall be with you day and night, everywhere that you go. The Lord shall preserve. The word preserve means to protect and to hedge and to guard. The Lord shall guard you, protect you. He shall hedge you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Isn't that good? Don't just tell us, okay, Lord, if I'm yours, then all the evil coming against me can't take away what you've already given me. You've saved my soul. My soul's preserved now. My soul's guarded. It's kept. It's protected. It's hedged. No matter what evil comes against me, I'm yours. I'm okay. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We serve an everlasting God who has never failed. And I'm thankful for that. That's why our faith must be in God. We was going through some old movies, old DVDs last night, me and Melanie, and we're going to get a couple together to show the church because I want you to see some of the things of our new beginning, of our early beginnings. But we were going through some of the fire department day DVDs, seeing how folks were so young, kids were so small. I got a picture of this land before anything touched it, how it looked natural before anything ever touched it. Ashley saw that. She's like, man, it looks so weird. I said, I know. Just, you know, we got it where it's grading the land and clearing the land off. All that's on there. And I got thinking about how far God has brought us and how those early years of stepping out and trusting God, how he's honored that. There are times, of course, of discouragement. There's times of, you know, weariness. But I look back and say, wow, all these kids and all these people that came through all these years, look what God has done. Many of them are grown. Many of them are coming still as adults now. Many of them moved away. Many have passed on. And it was really sad to see that. But I got thinking about God. You know, when we place our faith in you wholly and we truly trust you and not what everybody says, then you honor that. And you can do what man says can't happen. You can move mountains that man says can never be moved because God is in it. God can change your circumstance today. He can change it tomorrow. He can change it next month, whenever. But God can change your circumstance. Let's read Mark 11. Verse 20. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. This is where Jesus cursed the fig tree the day before. Peter, calling to remember, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Don't have faith in what's been destroyed. Have faith in what can restore. Don't have faith in the fruit that you see or the lack of fruit you see before you. Have faith that I can cause new fruit at any time to appear. See, the fig tree represented peace in Jerusalem. It represented peace and security. And Jesus cursed this fig tree to make a symbolic point. To not place your faith in the system of Israel. Not to place your faith in the religious system of works and laws. But that don't place your faith in the boundaries of the walled city. But to place your faith in me. And just the fig tree was cursed by Jesus. A little more than 30 years after this story, Jerusalem was destroyed. AD 70. 30-some years after Jesus cursed his fig tree, the city was destroyed. And I wonder if these disciples remembered what Jesus said. He cursed that fig tree. Now we are destroyed. But he told us to have faith in him. Because as we know, Jesus restored Israel, brought them back as a nation. He restores us from our brokenness because we're in a broken, broken, broken world. We absolutely are in such a time period that people are so confused. You ever walk by somebody, and folks, I know people take offense to this, and I'm really over the point I don't care anymore, to be honest. I just don't care. You ever walk by somebody, because y'all know how I love everybody, but I'm not going to sit here and just say, oh, yeah, you're that's great. Just keep on being who you are because that's really working for you. You ever walk by somebody on the street and you're like, you look at your person, they are really confused. Bless their heart. They are confused. They are. They are confused because they don't understand what Jesus really came to do. Jesus came to repair and restore the brokenness. If we would place our faith in that, I understand. I hear story after story as a pastor of past, of people that were abused in their past. They had bad parents or no parents, abusive parents, physically, sexually, all that. I've heard it all. But there comes a point to where you say, okay, we've all got a story. We've all got something that we can blame God for. But Jesus fixed all that at Calvary. He restored us, church. But our faith must be in the work that he done. And we're hanging on to things that are still poisoning our present and our future because we're not placing our faith in him alone. God, you healed my brokenness. God, you redeemed my past. And God, your forgiveness that forgave me, it must leak out to where I now can forgive others. It must be a working faith that lives inside of us. And it's only a working faith if our faith's in God. If you're waiting on someone to apologize to you for something, see the old Facebook captions where there are skeletons sitting in a chair holding a coffee cup? Waiting on them to say, I'm sorry. It may not ever happen. It may not ever happen. But you know what? When we told Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry, you know what he said? All is well. I love you. It's all forgiven. It's all covered by the blood. You're okay. I did the work. Our faith cannot be in our past. Our faith cannot be in what we're facing today. Our faith can't be in what might happen tomorrow. Our faith must be in the God that we serve now. And God, I got faith you forgive me my past. I got faith you're going to take care of my present. And I got faith you're going to walk with me in my future. I got faith because my faith's in you and nothing else. There are times of our lives that storms come, that things in our lives arise, that we have nowhere to turn to but God. And me and Melanie have both, as a married couple and as individual people before marriage, we have both had our share of problems. We have both had our share of bad luck, if you want to call it that. We both had our share of this just stinks. And it don't feel right. And it don't seem right. But then I'm reminded of what God has done for me. I'm reminded of who he is. I'm reminded of what I just read, that he is perfect, he is complete, he is never wrong, he is eternal, he is faithful, he is undefeated, he is forever Lord, he is forever King. He reigns over all creation, he created all creation. I'm reminded of who he is, and remember, you know what? I belong to that. I belong to him, because I believe what the Bible says, that I'm a child of God, I'm ambassador of Christ, I've been redeemed by the blood, I've been reconciled back to Christ. The Bible even uses a little bit of a fresher term that says we are no longer bastards. In other words, I'm no longer an illegitimate human being. I've been legitimized by the blood of Jesus. I know who my daddy is. And that's the point. And my dad, like a little boy talks about his dad, you know, my dad's stronger than your dad. Little Maverick goes to school. My dad could beat your dad up, I bet. Little taste, you know, my dad's got bigger muscles than your dad. You know how guys talk. Proud of their dad. Yeah, my dad has a Harley Davidson. My dad has a wood shop or the woodchuck chucks wood, you know, whatever. My dad's a Republican. Well, my dad's a Democrat. Well, my dad's a cowboy. Fan. My dad. And so we're proud of that. I was trying to whisper to Colton Wednesday night in his ear at the fire pit, Tar Heels. Tar Heels. Trying to sow that subtle seed. But we're proud, right? Who's our dad? It's God. You can tell folks, my dad. You can go to school and say, my father walked on water. Your daddy didn't walk on no water. Oh, he did. My dad walked on water. He sure did. My dad raised the dead. My dad healed the lepers. My dad healed the blind eyes. My dad cast out demons out of a possessed man. My dad died for you. And my dad rose for you. Do you know the word Abba translates into a more intimate term that means dad? Where it says Abba Father? So I'm not being disrespectful, church. The word Abba, if you look at it in the Testament, which says Abba Father, in that scripture, Abba translates into dad. It's a very intimate term of a personal relationship. He's our heavenly father. And he's also our dad. What don't dad do for you if you got a good dad, right? And we know we got a good father, right? We got a good father, the song says. So I've got a father who holds me in every season of my life. Don't you give up because you're in a rotten season. We go through rotten seasons. And don't make everybody else's life around you rotten because you're rotten. You know? Misery loves company. Oh, we love that. I was supposed to go to a little event yesterday, and I actually forgot about it. I had it in my planner, wrote down, but then I got over here to church yesterday evening, and when I looked down my planner, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I forgot to go there. So I texted June. I said, June, I'm not going to make it over there. I said, I'm really sorry. I had it written in my planner. I forgot it. And he said, well, to be honest with you, I'm not going to be there either. We got company, and I can't tell him to leave, so I'm stuck here. So I text back. I said, I'm so glad you're not there. It makes me feel better I'm not there. We like that, don't we? That's how we feel. You know? If you miss a Sunday at church, you know, Jew and Chuck ain't here, and they find out, well, Deez, well, I wasn't there either. Okay, well, you wasn't there. Okay, well, I'm supposed to be. You know, you wasn't there either. But you ought to feel worse. Well, my two singers wasn't there. You know, wow. One of us should have been there. But anyway, that's how we feel. Misery loves company. But how can we live a rotten, how can we feel like we're in a rotten life whenever Jesus has made everything new? Remember what the Bible says? My mercies, his mercies are new every morning. Yeah, every day. They're new. Every day, God, you're waking up with your Heavenly Father. And no matter what life brings against your life, if you're facing God, you're going to get through it. Look what the next verse says. This is Jesus talking himself, Jesus Christ talking. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. And understand, the doubt in his heart part is not about, I've heard this preached my whole life. I've heard preachers say this, and it's made me so mad. That when someone dies, they'll say, well, they didn't have enough faith. That's a crock. I know of people that had faith to the very end that went on from the earth. The faith he's talking about is not faith in our faith. It's faith in him, who he is. Our money says, in God we trust. That's what I'm talking about. Faith in God. Not faith in how much my faith can be going. We've been through them services, man, where, you know, we're trying to get our faith. It's not about my faith. It's about my faith in him, in who God. Here's the picture. In that game, Alabama last night, the quarterback got hit on a dead call, got hit, and he was down for a little bit. And the whole, you know, you tell people are concerned because that's their franchise, that's their quarterback, Alabama. He's good. He went down. You hear everything get quiet, and the announcers were talking about it. And you know what was happening? People, the Alabama fans were thinking, okay, we can't win without him. What if our same philosophy was like that in God? I can't win, God, without you. My faith is in not what I can do. My faith is in what you can do. My faith's not in all of my fasting or praying or praying in the Spirit or, you know, seeking your will or going off on a sabbatical. God, that none of that, that's not where my faith needs to lie. My faith needs to lie in who you are. The picture is God. I mean, the picture is God. I mean, God is bigger, stronger, mightier than any foe, any enemy, anything that comes against us. He's greater than any stronghold. I have seen lives changed by the power of God. I've seen it changed when they finally say, you know what, God? You are bigger than this. But sometimes the devil will try to fool us and trick us and think it's about our level of faith, of what we believe instead of what we believe. I believe in Jesus. Whatsoever you believe, without doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I want to explain this a minute, because this has been preached a lot of ways. Shirley can sit here right now and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want a Lincoln Navigator with all the bells and whistles, and I want it, Lord. I pray it's in my driveway when I get home. And you said, if I don't doubt, and I don't doubt, God, it's going to be waiting on there with the keys in it, and the wheels are shined and polished, and the music's already pre-programmed, and I am ready to roll in my Lincoln Navigator. I'm going to look like a hot mama going around town in my Lincoln Navigator. God, I believe it. I confess it. Home, oh, in Jesus' name. Now, can God do it? Sure, he can do it. But will he do it? He can do it. This prayer is deeper than that. And that's where we've got some of the name claim philosophy of religion at. The name it, claim it. And I understand that we do believe the word and we speak the word. But let me ask you this. You've got a mountain in front of you today, and it's not moving. That mountain is stuck. And you have prayed, and you have tried to climb it, and you keep falling down. You try to go around it, and something blocks you. You know, whatever it is. It just, the more you climb, the more the mountain grows. It just won't let you by. It's just there. As we pray for this mountain to be moved, maybe it's not as much that the physical problem is moved out of our life as much as God is moving us through the mountain or around it by his power and by his grace. The mountain may still be there, but God can get us through that mountain by his purpose and by his plan. Because sometimes we just need some peace. You know, Melanie, like I said, Melanie, we're nature. Me and Melanie can be more different on this. She is so just worried about it when it happens. I'm worried about it 10 years before it happens. And there's been times she laid down at night, and I'm like, are you not stressed about the situation? Are you not worried about it? I mean, you're just laying there, you know, and you're watching TV, and you turn the light off, you go to bed. I mean, you're not worried about it at all. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to sleep. The problem will be there tomorrow. I'm going to rest tonight and worry about tomorrow. That's a gift, honestly. It's a great gift. But Melly has a point in that, because what I'm trying to say here is that, you know what happens? That even maybe subconsciously, maybe even Melly's not realizing this, but or maybe none of you realize this, but there's times that God gives us that peace in the moment of our storm to be able to rest in that season. And isn't that God kind of moving the mountain out of our way? I can rest tonight, God. The mountain's there, but you know what? It ain't stopping me. I'm going to rest. I'm going to trust. I want to believe. And I believe that we pray. The Bible's clear on that. I believe we take our requests before God. But our faith must be in him, that he can move that mountain. We can't, but God can. Whatever is in your way today, whatever is standing there, trust that whether the mountain moves like you want to move or not, doesn't mean that you're not seeing what God wants you to see in that season. There's joy that can come in your storm. You know the old saying, dance in the rain? You know, kids love playing in the rain, don't they? Splashing puddles, and they'll jump in the rain, and they just, you know, they love getting wet. Most of us adults don't like that no more. We're like cats, you know? We want to stay dry. But kids love playing in it. It may be raining today in your life, but don't mean you can't dance. There may be sorrow in your season, but don't mean you can't still laugh. Because God has got you. And though things aren't working the way you want right now, does not mean God is not working. Have faith in God. As we begin to see who God really is, it will elevate our faith in him, not in us. Because I've been there and I know. I have struggled so many times trying to think, if I get myself in a better position, then maybe God will do something different. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen sometimes. I think we have to be in a place to hear from God, and we honor God with our lives. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that, once again, it's not about how much I do or what I do. It's about how much he can do. Man, David wasn't qualified to defeat Goliath. I mean, David was, you know, I mean, think about it. It'd be like getting, you know, Nathan up here, and he's standing on one side, and he was a little shepherd boy just taking care of the sheep. You know, he ain't ever fought nothing. Then you put this 8-9-foot giant who'd fought his whole life, full of armor, spear. I mean, he was prepared. Nathan wasn't prepared. He's watching sheep. But when he heard his brothers talk, they were scared of him. Something in David's heart sparked. And it wasn't his own ability. It was in what he saw God do. Because he said, when I was watching the sheep, a bear came, a lion came, and I took it with my bare hands, and I ripped it apart. I destroyed what those two. So I know God can give me the victory over you. David's faith wasn't his own ability. It was in what God had already done for him. It's what God could do for him. Just like Moses, that Red Sea, it wasn't about him. I mean, I imagine when he first got up there, like any of us, he probably had a big gulp in his throat. Because we always think about Moses being, oh, he's just a man of faith. Man, he was a man. Can you imagine? He finally, I mean, after going back 10 times and going through 10 plagues, they finally get delivered. He's feeling pretty good about himself, right? Like a preacher on Sunday, church is full, offering good, hallelujah. Then next week, nobody shows up and nobody gives. What? Here's Moses, he's marching out. They're singing hallelujah songs, you know, amazing grace, how great is our God, you know, I'm so blessed, whatever. And they're singing, they're marching, everything is good, and they hit the Red Sea, and here comes Moses. And he sees Pharaoh's army behind him and a body of water in front of him. He's got 2 million people to try to save. I bet he had a moment, Gordon, where he's like, kidding me? Jehovah Jireh, are you kidding me? Jehovah, what do I do? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I need you to be Moses' God right now because me in trouble. What do I do? And I imagine he had no idea what to do until that moment. And in that moment, God took over. Because that's all he had. And he stretched forth his hand and he uttered these few words: "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Not of Moses. He didn't say, "Watch what I can do. Watch this trick. Watch the staff. Power's in the staff. The power's in God." And as he raised his hands and uttered those words, that mountain moved. As David uttered those words, "I come against you not with a spear and a sword, but in the name of the Lord," the mountain moved. As Daniel was in that lion's den and got thrown in that night and should have been dead, God moved that mountain. See, Daniel didn't escape the lion's den. David didn't escape face of Goliath. Moses didn't escape obstacles. But each of those cases, God moved the mountain. Sometimes we think there's a mountain at all that God ain't moving. Man, that God takes us sometimes to the mountain to show us what he can do. But if our faith in God and not the mountain, it all works out. Chuck, glad to see you here this morning. Chuck had some surgery Wednesday morning. And bless his heart, he's like a deer. He looked like the deer in my backyard and I shined that flashlight in it. He was so nervous, bless his heart. I can tell you he was so nervous. He had a little surgery done and everything. You feeling good? Good. But we prayed together, you know, and God had you, brother. He had you. We don't want to go through surgery, but aren't you glad you had God with you through it? God moved that mountain out of Chuck's life. So we got to think that way. As we believe, as we pray, and not doubt in our heart, whatever we ask, God is able to do it. It's not a magic genie formula. If you grew up like me, what's not a dream of genie? It's great. But God doesn't work that way. God can give us peace, like I said, in our moments of fear. God could give us joy in our moments of sorrow, and that is him moving those mountains out of our way that we can see, "Look, I've got you. Just trust me." I remember when Vance Henry passed away, to the very minute he was talking about God, talking about his faith, he says, "Yeah, I'm ready to go. I win either way. If God heals me here, if he heals me there, I win either way." The nurse would come in and say, "He'd been talking about God the whole time." He was dying. He was sick, but yet he was confessing his faith to other people. He was not letting the mountains that stood in front of him keep him from being who God called him to be. Whatsoever we pray, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11 says, "Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened." As you study those passages, it's not a one-time ask or a one-time seek or a one-time knock. It's a continual seeking, a continual asking, and a continual knocking, which tells me this: that our faith is a continual journey of talking to God, seeking God, asking for God's help, a continued journey of that in our lives. Put your faith in God, not in anything else. I know many of you are going through major things in your life. Some of you are facing major health issues. You're facing domestic issues. You're facing financial issues. But God is bigger than all of those things. Man, God can turn it around. Anytime. God, I've seen God do that. I've seen God move in me and Melody's lives where we knew it was God. And he opened up doors that couldn't have been opened any other way. And I knew that that was God that did that. I'll tell you something else about trusting God. It sure takes a lot of stress off your life. Look, I know we got battles. And I'm not saying, you know, me and Melanie, like I said, we're wired different. And I'm definitely not a Hakuna Matata kind of person like she is. I mean, Melanie is so Hakuna Matata. And I'm not. And I try to remind myself who I serve. And to trust God when I can't see it and when I can't feel it. I try to trust God when I have no answers and no hope. But God, my hope's in you. As the song says, right, all of our hope is in Jesus. For some of you, and I just want to say this, I want to be real this morning. Some of you are substituting things in your life that are reserved for the place of the Lord. There's things in your personal life that you are engaging in that is taking away the quality of what God is wanting to do in your life. It's not that you're going to hell necessarily. It's not that God is mad at you. But what I'm saying is it is affecting the full destiny of what God has prepared for you. And you can lay that down. You can lay it down. And I know that it's hard. I know the things in our lives we've done for so long, and we're seeking. I understand how the flesh is. I'm telling you, our flesh is weak. If some of y'all are on a strict diet this morning, and I bring a big old bucket of homemade creamy macaroni and cheese up here, for many of you, you would fail that test. Your flesh is too weak. You can't, the aroma, the smell, the cheese gooing off the fork. Oh, you just lose your mind. Because we're weak in the flesh. But I know many of you in this church, many of you have quit smoking. And many of you smoke for 30, 40 years and you quit smoking because you leaned on God. And God helped you. It comes back to this question. Is your faith enough? Do you want to place your faith enough in God to be willing to lay everything down and say, from this day forward, Lord, my faith is in you. Even when I fail, my faith is in you. When I falter, my faith's in you. God, when I mess up, my faith still will be in you. And I need your help today to help me get through the season of my life. I'm tired of the season I'm in. I'm tired of living like the world. I'm supposed to be transformed by the grace of Jesus. See, Jesus changes us. Just play a little something real soft, Marge. Jesus changes us. Or he should change us. And you know what? We should want that change. Anything else we put our mind to, we will do if we want it bad enough. We want to get out of debt, we'll get out of debt. We want to lose weight, we'll lose weight. We want to quit smoking, we'll quit smoking. There's things in our lives, we get to the point, you know what, I'm done, I'm going to do it. I'm going to quit. But you can't quit on your own power, and you can't quit on your own merits. You've got to say, God, faith, my faith is in you. I need you to move this mountain out of my life today. I need you, God, to move this mountain that is staring me in the face, that is constantly mocking me and keeping me bound to these chains. Because I know better. And God, I know you got better for me than where I'm at. As Christians in our walk in faith, we should never be going backwards. We should always be going forward. We should always be moving forward with God, not going backwards. Let your faith be in him this morning. If you need a mountain moved today, you need a mountain moved. I want to ask you to take a step of faith this morning and step up here and surrender everything to God. Say, from this day forward, Lord, I'm giving you this mountain. Whatever happens, God, I trust you with it. Whatever happens, I know you're for me. Whatever happens, I know your plan will be realized from this day forward. Because I'm giving you this mountain. And I want to say this, that one of the tricks of the enemy in the church setting is people have a real issue stepping up front to an altar. They have a real issue with that. But I want to remind you that none of us in here would have any issue stepping up anywhere else in life. When your buzzer out back goes off, do you step up and give it to the server? You don't say in your seat, burr, 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 burr. You take it and you give it to your server. Don't be ashamed, don't be afraid, and don't let the devil trick you into saying, you don't need to do that, it's okay. You know what half the battle is? I used to be in church services where I was sitting back there, and some of y'all have experienced this, where I was hoping the preacher, maybe I hope y'all were doing this morning, I hope so, would just shut up so I get to the altar. Would just shut up. Because I was sitting there being pulled so hard, just shut up so I get up there. Just call it already. Because the Lord be moving on me so strong. Well, what's so special about coming to the altar? Why can't I just sit in my seat? Well, you can. I get that. I know that. But you know what? Doesn't that answer your own question? That if you can't even step up to an altar, how can you step out into faith?
If you have a problem stepping up to an altar, how can you possibly step into your mountain? Dave Ramsey talks about baby steps in his financial teachings. Baby steps. Walking to the altar is your first baby step. And the altar, just this piece of wood here, is not got any power of its own. There's not a magical when you touch it that because the wood's got power. But what you are doing, you're taking a step of faith, saying, "Lord, I'm stepping and I'm making a willing and a conscious move to surrender my mountain to you, God. I'm coming before you and I'm surrendering it as a step of faith, of stepping out from where, really symbolic, you're stepping out of where you're at right now to where you want to be." And that's what it's about. So don't be ashamed. Let's pray. Father, I pray you draw hearts today that are battling these mountains, that their faith, God, has not really been in you. It's been in what they can do. It's been in what their strength and their power and their abilities and their motives. But God, when we see who you are, that you are the greatest, the strongest, the mightiest, that you are undefeated, God, that you are forever, that you are alive forevermore, that you live in us, that God, when we see who you are, when the biography of you is painted, there is none greater. And God, you care for us. You created us. You formed us in our mother's womb. You called us by name. You are alert. You are aware. You do not sleep. You do not slumber. But God, you preserve us, our coming in, our going out. And God, we want to surrender today the mountain or the mountains that are standing in front of us, that we bring them before you with no doubt in our heart, knowing you are able to lift them out of our lives. We ask you, draw people to this altar this morning in the name of Jesus, that will say, "God, remove my mountain." Amen. God is calling you. Come up, let's stand. We're going to pray together this morning up here. We're going to pray together. The mountains of your lives are moved. Whatever those mountains are, that they're moved. They're moved. Y'all come to the altar, stay up here, and we're done. I want to pray that everybody's up here before y'all go back. Just make an act of faith and say, "You know what? I'm going to step out of where I'm at to step in to where God wants me." It's just an act of faith. Just saying, "God, I believe you enough to take this step to surrender it all before a holy God." So if you don't want to kneel, just come stand up here and get what God has. We're going to pray for y'all to the altar. Don't nobody leave. We're going to pray that your mountain's removed here in a minute. have the ones up here that you know what your mountain is and needs to be moved. And we want to believe today that your faith in God goes to a new level. That no matter what you see from this point on, that you're going to trust that God is now in this because you're giving it all to Him right now. And that God is going to move this mountain out of your life to where you have the victory. Father, we lift your name on high right now. In the name of Jesus, the name, above every mountain, above every battle, above every storm, above every stronghold, above every principality, above every evil spirit, above every wicked place. God, we call your name right now, that as we stand before you, a holy, perfect, righteous, just God, that you move the mountains that stand in front of us. You said whatever we ask, it shall be done. And we pray and we declare and we speak that the mountain of addiction, the mountain of sorrow, the mountain of regret, the mountain of fear, the mountain of sickness, the mountain of bondage, every single mountain will be removed out of our lives beginning today. And we will see you, God, as who you really are, the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Fill us with your Holy Spirit right now, God. Let your Spirit fall upon every life up here. Overshadow them, God, with your glory and with your Spirit and with your presence. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, take over. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, take over. Holy Ghost, take over right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, church. Give Him honor and give Him praise. He is worthy of our praise. Yeah, Holy Ghost, take over. Spirit of God, take over. Let every mountain be moved in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Jesus. Jesus. God's going to bring some of y'all into a brand new season, a season you've never experienced, a season you've never saw before. But a new season is coming in your life. I'm telling you, it's on the way. A season of depth, a season of glory, a season of breakthrough, a season of healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Yes, I've been. Let's sing this chorus together, church. Jesus, I've been washed by the blood. Y'all love each other before you sit down. Love each other and encourage each other. We're all family in here. We are all family. Y'all can be seated once you get back there if you want to. You want to keep standing, don't bother me none. Layton, come on up here. Get our drummer up here. We'll get you pumped up for the offering. And Marty, do not sing Jesus Paid It All. Ushers, come on up this morning. Receive our morning tithes and offerings. Oh, glory. Remember the example I used of Melanie sleeping on the beach while I'm watching the kids. Think about that in your spiritual walk. That you can rest because God's watching you. that you can just trust God so much to live your life and let God just take care of you, because he will. Father, we thank you for this message this morning. We thank you that our faith in you changes everything. We thank you, God, for the mountains that you have removed today in our lives, for the presence of God we have felt in this place. We pray for this offering, Lord, that is blessed by you, that you breathe upon it, multiply this seed for the glory of your kingdom and for the sower. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.